When I was a child in school, we would frequently, when our teacher would give us instructions, ask her if it was opposite day. Did anyone have opposite day in their childhood? Yeah, right? And then we would do this thing where we would be like, oh, you're saying it's opposite day, and if it's opposite day, then that means it's the opposite of opposite day, which is not opposite day. Yeah, that was like my third grade logic going on right there. Jesus tells us that in the end, we will have an opposite day. That those who are first in life will be last, and the last will be first. Over the course of the past few weeks, we have been in the Lenten season, these 40 days that call us into uncomfortable places, that bring us into places that are unfamiliar, that tell us to let go of the stuff that we love. And that might be a little painful. But what it does is it declutters our lives a little bit. It allows us to refocus on where God is calling us. I don't know if you've noticed the sanctuary over the past few weeks, but it was super cluttered, what, like 4 weeks ago? And it's starting to get less and less. And I hope that this season has allowed your lives to feel that way too. Like by letting go of some of the stuff, it's taken the weight off. By letting go of control and fear and doubt, that you've been able to breathe a little bit easier, even if it's been uncomfortable, even if it's been painful, that somehow you've been brought closer to Jesus. In this week, right before Palm Sunday, we come into a text in Mark where we have this man that comes to Jesus. And he says this. He says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "You know the commandments, right?" We know the commandments, right? How many of you have read like one verse of the Bible? Most of us. How many of you can name some sort of scripture? How many of you know what the Ten Commandments are? Maybe you don't have them memorized, but you at least know where to look them up, right? In the Bible, yeah. So he says, "You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And this man, we don't know a lot about him. We hear in Matthew, I believe, that he is a ruler. In Luke, that he is a young ruler. So we know he's in some position of power according to the other gospels, although Mark doesn't explicitly tell us that. He says he's just a man, some dude, but he probably has some wealth, right? He says, "Teacher, I have done this. I have been a good and faithful servant. I have followed God's commands." And Jesus says, it says, he said to him, looking at him, loved him, and said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." This man has followed the way of God's teachings. He's been a good Jewish boy, right? He's followed the rules. He's gone to church every Sunday. He hasn't stayed out too late and missed curfew. He's gotten a good job, and he tells his mom, "I love you," every morning and gives her a hug and a kiss on the cheek. Right? He's a good boy. But something is getting in the way of him following Jesus. Jesus says, go, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. Almost as if preemptively saying, you can't really follow me unless you do this one thing. Now, I struggle with this text because I don't know if Jesus is saying this just to the man or if this is somehow prescriptive for all of us too. How many of us have sold all of our possessions and given them to the poor? How many of us are willing to sell all of our possessions and give them to the poor? I hear crickets, right? I think if you went to a group of pastors and said, how many of you are willing to sell all of your possessions and give them to the poor? We'd all be like, yeah, not me. Not I. Now, there are some people that live lives of poverty, right? That do this very thing. And I pray for them regularly and thank God that they are not me. I'm sure you've heard sermons on this, right? In your life, or maybe even preached them before. And you've thought, how can I follow this commandment? What can I do? How can I sell everything, God, and give it to those in need? And I think I may be making an excuse here. I may be preaching false testimony. I could be totally off base. So I'm just going to put that out front. Maybe Jesus literally means we're all doing the wrong thing if we don't sell all of our possessions and give them to the poor. I don't know. But as I read this, as I discern, as I talk to God about what God is saying, I think God is telling us to let go of the power that we have over our things, the power we have over communities and people, and give that to God. That we have to surrender everything to God, because if we don't, we can't really follow. Because there's other stuff that's weighing us down in our lives. In your life, if you survey society, your community, your school, your workplace, how many of you know someone in power who is poor? How many of you know someone in power who is homeless? Can you think of a person in power who does not have a meal at least once a day? Can you think of a person in power who is naked or has really ragged clothes? Addie's laughing because I said naked. No, the people in power have money. The people in power go dine at the finest restaurants, right? They have the best suits and the finest homes. When we think about people in power, we think about people who live in big white houses, right? And I don't care what guy it is, what term we're talking about. They live in a big white house and they put on fancy suits and they have armed security guards following them around in big fancy limousines. And I know they need the Secret Service, right? Because we have crazy people. But the people who are in power are the people who tend to have the most wealth. That their power and their privilege come with stuff. And Jesus says that gets in the way. Now somebody has to do that job, right? Somebody has to be in positions of power. And in many ways, all of us are in some sort of position of power. Whether we are in charge in our workplace, whether we are an elected official in some capacity in our community, or maybe we're just a really good volunteer and have great influence on those around us. But what Jesus calls us to do is to look at our positions of power and utilize the resources that we have to take the most vulnerable people in society and give them power too. Because people who are poor don't have power. People who are poor often reaching out their hand saying, I just need a little break. I don't know how you can be a CEO of a company if you don't know where your next meal is going to come from. How can you have the luxury of deciding if you're going to rent or buy if every dollar in your paycheck goes to feed and clothe your kids? I went to a conference this last week on clergy health and wellness, and we were talking about emotional health, financial health, physical health. And we were talking about ways of investing our money. And I was sitting there thinking, how many people in our country don't have any excess wealth that they can even think about investing in their future? That means I have some power, right? And Jesus tells us we need to think about how we use that power. Maybe it means letting some of it go and sharing that power with other people. Giving them voice, letting them be heard, allowing them to have influence when it seems like just the wealthy are the ones that do. As we come to the second part of the text, well, the end of the first part, it says that the man went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Now, many of us assumed that he goes away grieving because there's no way he can give up his stuff, right? So now he's grieving that he's not going to be able to get into heaven. But maybe he's grieving because he's decided to go do just that. Because here's the thing about the giving up. It's really painful. Because we love our stuff, right? We love the physical, the tangible, the material. We want to hold on to it. And Jesus says, let it go. Give it to me. Follow me. And that might be painful, guys. And then we enter this next part where the disciples say to him, if this is how you have to do this, then who possibly can be saved? Because no one does it, right? The disciples recognize no one in their right mind raises their hand and says, yes, I'm going to sell every single thing. Down to my last glove, I'm going to sell it. And Jesus says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And they say, then who can be saved? And Jesus says, for mortals, it is impossible. But for God, all things are possible. Here's the thing about the rich man's question. He asks what he can do. He asks how he can earn his way, because he's used to buying stuff, right? It's what people in power do. They buy their way into new stuff. But it's not about what he can do, how he can earn. It says, this is impossible. Guys, we're going to fall short in this task. But with God, nothing is impossible. With God, everything is possible. All things are possible. And so as you journey into the end of Lent and you start to think about Easter, I want you to think about what else in your life can you give control to God? How can God call you to use the resources you have? Because we have abundant resources. How can we use those to impact the kingdom of God and help bring others closer to the cross? Because it's not just about us. It's not just about what we can do. It's about what God can do. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you for allowing us to come together in worship today. God, for not letting anything get in our way of worshiping you. For temptation to be outside, or for tired and sore knees, or for just the desire to lay in bed and rest. God, I thank you that we are here and that we get to experience you and your call. God, I just ask that we could see how you have called us through song and music and prayer and scripture and word. And God, that you would allow us to give up so that we can get closer to you. We love you and we praise you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.